First down and 10 for the Raiders in real trouble here.
They're going to have to air it out vertically downfield at some point.
We haven't seen that much today.
Can't wait too much longer. Those quick outs to the sidelines won't suffice.
Warriors' long pass of the day is 15 yards, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson untouched for the touchdown. And the pick six may end the Soldier Field drought. Over a year since the Bears won a game at home.
Well, Jalen Johnson never got out of his backpedal. He was just shadowing Davante Adams. Wasn't scared of him running by. We talked about those short underneath throws all game. He was sitting on it. You see, Coach Graham didn't love it. But Jalen Johnson jumped on that comeback route, was all over it. Had no fear of Davante Adams running by him.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Bears defeat the Las Vegas Raiders 30-12 at Soldier Field, as mentioned in the clip. From Fox, Bears hadn't had a home victory since September 2022. Over a year without a home victory. That's a lot of bad tailgating. I'll tell you that right now. Taking your phone calls, getting your reactions to the Bears game. It's Gabe Ramirez. And, I mean, really, this is just a nice little chat session. I've been letting people go long today. I haven't even been cutting them short. I've been like, yo, say whatever you want. And I've been having follow-up questions, too. Usually, you know, people just give their thoughts and then you kind of move on from there. But certainly want to hear what it is you have to say about this game. Tyson Bagent, of course, 21 for 29 on the day. Had himself a game. Jalen Johnson, you just heard the highlight. One of two interceptions on the day, along with a pass deflection. Dante Foreman, big game, three touchdowns. He had a sack from Justin Jones. Tremaine Edmonds got himself an interception. Just good stuff all the way around, and a good game for the Bears. Darnell Mooney had himself a couple of receptions. Just a good team effort. Of course, the Raiders were down a couple of guys. No Jimmy Garoppolo. Josh Jacobs got hurt in the middle of the game, so he himself was unavailable. So, you know, they were without some weapons, but this is what you have to do. You still got to come out and beat a bad team. Because had you lost, it would have said more about the Bears organization than it would have the Raiders. You know, it would have said the Bears really in the doldrum, losing to a team without some of their stars. But Tyson Bagent most certainly came through with a bunch of plays. And I'm watching the second half or the first half, the end of the first half. We were talking about this before the break. So Tyson Bagent, I'm watching it right now. 15 seconds, he gets sacked on the last play with 10 seconds left. That was Max Crosby's one sack. And then there was about 9 seconds left on the clock. He comes back in and he makes that one throw. He, you know, veers to the sideline. Tries to get it out to Tyler Scott. That one falls short. And then the last play of the game, 2 seconds left, sure enough, Nathan Peterman comes in. Big arm Nathan Peterman rolls out to his left. And then, yeah, he throws the ball. Why do they call it a sack and a fumble? Did he step out of bounds maybe? Because he definitely just threw the ball that I watched right there. So, interesting. But Nathan Peterman coming in is hilarious. Nobody was talking about that. At least I wasn't, or not in my circle. Maybe I fell asleep.
I think nobody talked about it because the game was already kind of out of reach at that point. They were just like, who cares? They're up by double digits at the half.
I care because I want my starting quarterback to be able to throw the ball 40 yards.
Fair point.
Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Matt out in Chicago. So, Matt, the Bears win. Got to be feeling good on a football Monday.
Yeah, definitely. Not only did the Bears win, but I also got the win on my fantasy, so I was really happy with that. Honestly, I had to go to work at about 3 o'clock, so I caught most of the game. I watched most of it, and then I listened to about the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter on the radio with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. All around, I thought it was just a really good team performance. I thought the team really, you know, they decided they wanted to rally behind Bajent. They wanted to, you know, give 110%. I really thought that that was evident on the football field today. I thought the defense was flying around. They were making plays, you know, obviously with the three interceptions. Big shout out to Jalen Johnson. You know, he's finally back and healthy, and we're starting to see the effects he's having on the secondary. Jaquan Brisker also had a really nice game. I think he had like 10 tackles or something like that going into the fourth quarter. I thought they did a really good job just really putting the defense in positions to make plays. And you got to do that against a team like the Raiders. They're down. They're on their backup quarterback too. So, you know, I thought it was a game we had to have, and we got it. Tyler Bajent coming in, being clutch, that's all fine and dandy. I thought he was really poised. I thought that the offense overall did a really good job converting third downs and just keeping possessions alive and slowly but surely moving the football up the field. You know, he was taking what the defense gave him. I mean, obviously we know he doesn't have a cannon, so they didn't really have to worry about the deep ball. But despite that, they were still moving the ball down the field. They got the running game going, which is something that hasn't really happened all year. But yeah, all in all, I was really happy with the game.
Matt, let me ask you this: why do you like? Because obviously, everyone saw the team playing, you know, invigorating football, right? They were motivated, most certainly. But why do you think that was, right? Like, do you think it was because Tyson Bajent was the quarterback? Like, I'm not trying to cause controversy, right, or like stir the pot, but I'm trying to actually figure out a reason. Or do you think it's been momentum from the last couple of games and them, you know, putting together some good tape?
I think it's both, to be honest. You know, when the backup comes in, I feel like this is just a generalization with every football team, though. Like when your starting guy goes down and that's the leader in your football club, I feel like everybody just realizes that they have to kick it up a notch. They all have to start really going really hard, and they really want to win the football game because now your leader's down. So now everybody has to step up. Everybody has to take a little bit more of the leadership role.
Yeah, I agree with that because I feel like everybody did step up, right? It wasn't just the offense. It wasn't just guys like Dante Foreman and DJ Moore. The defense stepped up as well. I mean, you know, Kyler Gordon got him in the mix a little bit. How about that play from Jack Sanborn? A lot of people weren't talking about that. That tackle for Jack Sanborn always finds a way to be around the ball, doesn't he, Matt?
Honestly, I'm a big fan of Jack Sanborn. He's a guy that doesn't necessarily wow you with his like pure athleticism or anything like that, but he's just a hard football player. He has a nose for going to the football, and you can tell he just plays 110%. He gives it his all on every play, and I feel like as long as you do that, you tend to put yourself in good positions.
Yeah, and he most certainly did that. Thanks for the call, Matt. I really appreciate it. Again, Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Waking up with you guys on a Bears Football Monday, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Most certainly something that we are all going to be looking forward to because we have a great show lined up for you today. A lot of stuff happening here. Dustin Rhodes is going to be taking over after me, but that's not till 5 o'clock. We still got three more hours of this stuff. And then so we got Dustin Rhodes, Mullion Hall, got DJ Moore, who we were just talking about. He's going to be on at 8, and then 9 o'clock, Brad Biggs. Olin Kreutz is jumping on at 7 with the guys. Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder are jumping on at 11 and 12 with Bernstein and Holmes. And then Jalen Johnson, the guy who did get the interceptions, he's going to be on with Parkinson Spiegel at 5 o'clock today. But let's go back out to the phone lines. We're taking your calls. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Stan out in the south side. Stan, what did you think about this Bears performance?
I thought the Bears played an excellent game today. And first of all, I just want to say one thing, and then I'm gonna tell you what I thought about the Bears today. Because this thing about a strong arm is overrated. Did you watch Jim McMahon play?
Not enough. I would say. Not
okay,
enough.
Jim McMahon, I'm gonna give you a little.
But wait. Before you begin, I do remember, and I, like I said, I didn't watch him enough, but I do remember a bunch of bombs to Willie Gault. And so I do remember seeing some arm strength from Jim McMahon.
Jim McMahon did not have a strong arm. Phil Simms did not have a strong arm. I'm going to name you some quarterbacks that did not have a strong arm. Steve Young used to throw ducks all the time. Okay.
All right, hold on. Wait. I got to stop you, though, Stan, because we're not going to compare Tyson Bagent to Phil Simms
and to Steve Young.
But you're throwing them out there with guys with not strong arms. You know what I'm saying?
Can I finish?
Okay.
Can I finish?
You're right.
But I hear you, though. I hear what you're saying. We're going to have a nice little conversation. Even you look at the guys today. Does Brock Purdy have a strong arm? Does Tua have a strong arm?
Yes, Tua does have a strong arm.
His arm is decent. He does not have a cannon.
He has a rocket. When he started the game last year against the Bears, going 16 for 16 to start the first quarter, those were lasers in the chest of Tyreek Hill.
He's accurate more than a cannon deep down the field is what I'm saying. What I'm saying, a strong arm is overrated. Accuracy and timing is more important than a strong arm, okay? That's what I want to say first, okay? Now, the Bears today. What I saw today, the Bears look very physical today. I haven't seen a Bears team look that physical since Lovie's days, okay? They ran the ball. Dante Foreman brought a very physical presence to the Bears game today. All you needed was a physical tight end in there, and that would have been perfect. There was something about the kid, Bajan, that brought juice to everybody that made the Bears play a more physical style game today. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so why are we trying to take credit from the kid and saying he's just a backup? Let's see what the kid is, okay?
Oh, okay, hold on, wait. No, because I love this conversation because I have been calling him a backup, and I know that's what you're talking about specifically.
Oh, okay.
But my thing is this. There's no scenario, right? Zero. If you're the GM of the Bears, there's no scenario where you have two top 10 picks and you're not drafting a quarterback of the future, right? So you could say what you want about Bagent and, like, can he be if you try to compare him to Purdy, the team that's around Purdy is night and day compared to what the Bears have, right?
So
we can't do that, right? And it's, but when we're talking about Bagent, it's like Bagent is the same as Justin Fields in terms of, like, the ceiling. You know what I'm saying? Like, can they be good? Yeah, sure. Like, you want me to give him more time? Fine. Yeah, whatever. But he's still not going to be a guy. Like I said, go look at the top 8 quarterbacks in the NFL.
That's not my point. I agree.
And that's my point. But that's my point, though. But that's my point in terms of giving him more time or seeing what you got. No, it doesn't matter. You want to know why? Because he's still, no matter what, no matter how good he's going to be, he's never going to be a top 8 quarterback in the NFL. So that's why you have to go draft somebody else. You have to go draft somebody else.
I never said that.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you said that. I'm telling you what I said.
They're definitely going to draft a quarterback next year, no question about that. But let's just focus on this season. Let's not jump ahead of next season.
All right, you're not going to start Tyson Bagent over Justin Fields. You're not. It's just
okay. Let me tell you this. Do you think Eberflus is going to get fired?
No.
You don't think there's no chance that he's going to get fired?
No.
What happened?
No, I don't. No.
Okay. Well, I think it's a possibility that he could get fired. Okay, and I think it's a possibility that he could get fired depending on how the Bears do for the rest of the season. Okay, if they stink up the joint for the rest of the season, then it's a great possibility he's going to get fired. Okay, this is my prediction. Tyson Bagent will take Justin Fields' job before the season is out. It will happen because Eberflus is not going to want to keep losing all these games
right,
to go on his resume. I think it will happen. Now, next year is a completely different year. But I think this year, Tyson Bagent will take Justin Fields' job by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it would be bad if that were to happen because then it would mean that it would diminish the trade value that you would be able to get from Justin Fields. You know what I'm saying? So it's in your best interest to let him play and have a couple of flash-in-the-pan moments, you know, just like you did against the Broncos, just like you did against the Commanders. Games like that can make teams like the Atlanta Falcons with Ryan Pace, a guy who actually drafted him, maybe that would want to give up more capital in the event that Justin Fields plays well. So it would be the worst case scenario for the Bears if Tyson Bagent takes over for Justin Fields, because then you ain't going to get anything for Justin. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think it's going to happen?
What?
Do you think Bagent will eventually take a Fields job this year? Do you think it will happen?
No, I don't.
So once Fields get healthy and he comes back, you don't think Tyson Bagent will get in the game? Will get in the game at all for the rest of the season?
I don't want to say at all because I don't know if Justin Fields is going to get hurt. But if Justin Fields is healthy for the rest of the season, let's assume that Tyson Bagent is not touching the field.
And you know he's not going to be. He's not going to be healthy for the rest.
Right, sure.
He will get hurt again.
Right. But you're talking about in the event that they're both healthy. That you're asking me, will Tyson Bagent take over Justin Fields? My answer to that is no, but it's multi-layered, Stan. You know what I'm saying?
Staying healthy is part of the job too.
Right.
If you can't stay healthy, your job will get taken. That's part of the job.
Right. I get it, but now you just keep throwing in caveats for everything I say. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm like, what about this? You're like, yeah, but hold up. And I'm like, well, no.
I love this guy.
Listen, I'll be very clear, Stan. This is exactly why I said okay to the shift, because I'm here for having conversations about the Bears. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like I'm talking to my boys. This is no different.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. Oh, I enjoy that too. I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But this is how I talk, in real life to my friends. You know what I'm saying? So, but this is what we need to be thinking about as Bears fans, right? And that's why this is a good conversation. We do need to be thinking about a scenario where Justin Fields is hurt and he loses all of his trade value, right? Like, that might happen, right? We do have to think about a scenario where Tyson Bagent is the guy under center for the rest of the season in the event that something happens, whatever that might be, right? Or that you just like, that's it. I'm done with Justin Fields. I can't deal with this. Tyson, or let's say, right? Like, let's really get crazy, Stan. Let's say Tyson Bagent wins on Sunday against the Chargers. Now we're really getting crazy, right? But let's say he does. Bears now got three victories. Schedule is not too difficult. You know what I'm saying? And then let's say Eberflus, like you said, maybe fearing his job, is like, damn, I might be able to back do the moonwalk into the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? With eight victories. I'm just saying, you know, hey, if we're playing the scenario game, let's play it, right? Let's play it. So, I mean, again, it's an interesting scenario, but I think ultimately in the best interest of Bears fans is that Justin Fields is healthy. Justin Fields does go out and play and plays mediocre football, right? Like, ends up 500 for the rest of the season. That would be the best case scenario, because then
of course, but I don't see that happening. I do not see that happening.
But wait. Let me ask you this, Stan. But you see that happening with Bagent?
As far as what?
The Bears ended up 500 for the rest of the season with Bagent?
No. Oh, I can see a scenario with Bagent, because we have to see. I don't know Bagent's track record as far as he's going to get hurt or what, anything like that. Right. Justin Fields has shown us that he's injury prone, and he will get hurt because of his style of play.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens next week, man. I appreciate the call, Stan. Those are the calls that I like. Two respectful people having good, healthy conversations, and not necessarily disagreeing with one another, but just having a healthy conversation. To me, that's what this shift is all about. That's why I'm glad you guys are calling in. The phone lines got a couple more open. Would love to hear from you. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. I got my legs up. I'm kicking. I'm chilling. Tyler Farrengall's holding down producing duties today. So why don't you throw me somebody else, man? Let's go to Peter out in Lyle. Peter, so you don't think Tyson Bagent's getting enough love out here?
No, I don't think he is. Look, I love Justin Fields. I think he's got all the talent in the world. A little bit of his, dare I say, his short game can be a little lacking. He kind of misses guys that are doing a little, you know, coming out of the backfield, that kind of thing. He's not, and Bagent's got a really great short game. He does get rid of the ball quick. I think a lot of people are complimenting the line today, but he did move around the pocket. I think if he would have held the ball a little longer, he'd have been sacked a bunch more times. But he's got a quick release. He was really accurate today. There was like a 3rd and 5 when they were doing that last drive, that he threw that little out to DJ Moore that was perfect right on the sideline.
Great throw.
Yeah, it was a great throw, and it was a money throw. Like, that kept the drive going, and those are the kinds of things that sometimes Justin would miss, because Justin's deep ball is amazing. I mean, he's definitely really accurate downfield, but they don't have enough time to get some of those downfield plays going, because the pocket collapses and he's got to move around. But I guess I'm not saying he's better than Justin. I love Justin, but I do think he could be a starter in this league. He could be another Kurt Warner type. He knows where he's going. He seems to kind of get an idea of what the defense is doing, and he gets an idea of where he wants to go. And I think a lot of why the line did well today was because he was getting rid of the ball. I think he could be a lot better. And everyone's saying, well, we just assume that he's just doomed to be a backup for the rest of his life. Well, I don't know. I went and looked at some college highlights of him. He can throw 20, 30 yards. He was on the run today, and he threw a couple balls with some pretty good zip on them for being on the move without even planted. He just,
Yeah, I don't want to take
a couple times.
Peter, I don't want to take away from Tyson Bagent's performance, right? I think if you're judging him on the scale of NFL quarterbacks, he performed exceptional, right? No turnovers, 8 for 13 on third downs. I think it was 5 for 6 himself on passes that ended up in, 5 of them ended up in first down. I mean, just good stats all around, right? Like, a game manager is great. Like, it's what you want from a backup quarterback. I think the question that you'd have to ask yourself, Peter, is would you be then willing to pass up, a top tier quarterback, because you do have the option to get him in this upcoming draft? Are you willing to pass on that for Tyson Bagent? Right, because that's really what the question is, right? Like, I'm here for the Tyson Bagent love, and I'm here to like praise him for what he did, because we've been watching some really bad quarterback play here in Chicago. So the fact that we got like competent quarterback play yesterday, like, that made everyone feel good. Like, we can see a quarterback that knows how to play the position. That's great. But if you're then asking me to put up Tyson Bagent's career and what it can be, in lieu of one of the top three quarterbacks that are coming out of college, like, to me, that's the part that I have an issue with, right? Because, again, ultimately, what I'm looking for is not Justin Fields. It's not Tyson Bagent. I'm looking for a top 8 quarterback in the NFL. That's all I want, because I want the Bears to win playoff games, and I want the Bears to win a Super Bowl. And I know in order to do that, you got to have a top 8 quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I would like to see what really any quarterback could do when they get this line stuff figured out, because if you give Justin Fields time, he will tear you up. But he needs more time than Tyson does, I think. Tyson's playing a lot of the shorter games, and he's getting rid of the ball quickly. If it doesn't develop immediately, he gets rid of it. And Justin's always looking for a big play, which I love. But I don't know if Williams is going to be the guy. He didn't look good against Notre Dame. I would keep Justin over him, because I think if you put a big front in front of Justin Fields, he would be amazing. I just don't know if he handles the pressure as well. I don't know if his short game is as efficient as Tyson's. So I don't know. I would love to see if they block for him, what Bagent could do in a game plan that didn't involve a lot of these short things. I mean, he said himself today he's got a cannon. I don't know.
So did his college coach, Ernie McCook. He was on 670 The Score this week, and he said that Tyson Bagent, had a strong arm too, but you got to do those kinds of things, right? You got to lift up your guy so that they can feel good. But again, Peter, first of all, thanks for the call. And I want to make sure that Tyson Bagent is getting enough love. And I think that we all are praising Tyson Bagent for the job he did yesterday. And I think that's okay. And I think that should be enough love to fill up his love tank. Great job this weekend. We love you for getting us a victory, like, and showing us what a quarterback should look like. Like, thank you. But I think I don't think it's hating to be like, but your services, will be concluded at the end of the season. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, listen to this. We have been just, but the quarterback play for Chicago Bears over the last couple of decades has been so bad that we are willing to accept mediocrity. And I don't want you to do that. Did Tyson Bagent have a good game? Yes. Did Tyson Bagent win against a bad Raiders team? Yes. But am I then willing to like give up my Drake May dream? No. Because Drake, no. Come on. Because it's just, you got to have a top eight quarterback. I just keep repeating that. Like, you have to have a top eight quarterback if you want to win playoff games in the NFL.
You think Drake May can be a top eight NFL quarterback?
I don't know. Right?
And potential, you're saying.
Here's what I do know. If you want a top eight quarterback in the NFL, you better get one of the best ones that are coming out of the draft. That's what you know. Simple as that. You got to get a C.J. Stroud. You see what I'm saying? He might not be a top eight quarterback right now, but I think a lot of people think he will in 4 years, right? And some of these top guys are moving on. So, again, if I want a top eight quarterback, and you're not going to develop a top eight quarterback, Brock Purdy's not going to be a top eight quarterback. I hear all the comps to Brock Purdy, but he ain't going to be a top eight quarterback in the NFL. You got to draft those guys. So my thing is, I'm not going to not draft a quarterback. And whoever I draft, his ass better be better than Tyson Bagent. If I'm spending the number three pick on Drake May, number two pick on Drake May, or Michael Penix Jr., whatever the hell it is, they better be better than Tyson Bagent. You see what I'm saying? All right. More phone calls on the other side. I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Tyson Bagent didn't get enough love for you? You want to give him some more? I will give you the airwaves of 670 to score to do so. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday.
From a game planning standpoint, what went into trying to make sure that Tyson was in the best position to be able to manage the game and not put the entire game on his shoulders per se?
Yeah, just that's a great question, and really that was the whole thing we wanted to do. You know, we wanted him to have good rhythm, timing, good protection. Don't let 98 wreck the game. You know, so that was all of our keys to victory were there. You know, and then distribute the ball to the skill. You know, and then when you were able to run the ball the way we were, then they're able to, you know, they have to come up and crowd the line of scrimmage. So it put some good advantageous pass positions for us offensively. So overall, it was great by the whole group.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Bears win 30-12. We are here on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday talking some Bears. Getting your thoughts. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Who's not getting enough love for you? Is it Dante Foreman? We haven't talked much about him. Is it Tremaine Edmonds getting his second interception in as many weeks? Is it Jalen Johnson doubling his total for career interceptions over the weekend? Is that right? Am I saying that right? He had one interception in his career. He doubled the whole That's wild. Shout out to him for that, though. You know what I mean? You got to be in the right place at the right time. You saw the man take off his helmet, go right up to the camera, pay me my money.
Segwaying off that, can't wait to see what he says about it on Parkinson Spiegel today at 5 o'clock.
Look at that. That's why he's a producer extraordinaire. Tyler Farrengall there. Jalen Johnson will be with Parkinson Spiegel, 5 o'clock. DJ Moore will be with Mullion Hall at 8 a.m. And Olin Krutz will be hanging out with the fellas at 7 as well. So make sure you guys are here. When you're waking up a little bit later, we will be talking Bears all day today. Let's go back out to the phone lines, though. We've been having some good conversations today, respectful conversations. Shout out to the overnight crew. I was talking to somebody before I get back out to the line. I was talking to somebody today at, excuse me, Duffy's. And he was talking about the overnight. I was like, yeah, I'm on overnight tonight. And he's like, oh, that's the old grobber one. And I was like, dude, I see Les Grobstein every day. You heard one of the callers earlier, Tyler, mentioned that I used to work at B96. And I used to do the morning show there for over a decade. And I would come in at, you know what I'm saying, 4:20, 4:30 every day. And I'd see Grobber every day. And he'd hold the door for me because usually we were crossing paths, like right there. And he knew I was a big Bulls fan. And I mean, obviously, I do the Bears Unleashed stuff on Fox 32, but Bulls is my favorite team. Basketball is my favorite sport. And Les would always have amazing stories for me overnight. Hey, Gabe, Bulls yesterday. And then he just rattled off some story from like the 80s about the Bulls. And just he knew that I enjoyed them. He knew I enjoyed hearing stuff like that. So, you know, being able to be on an overnight, you know, filling in, as I'll say, for a guy that, you know, I respected greatly, was super knowledgeable. I'd always be listening to him on the way in to my shift. I wanted to hear what he had to say. Very witty, personable. You know, I wish I had half the allure that Les Grobstein has, because it certainly lives on. So shout out to Les Grobstein. Rest in peace, brother. Hopefully I'm doing you proud, because I know you're listening right now, man. Let's go back out to the phone lines, though. Let's go to Richard in Lockport. So, Richard, finally, somebody coming in that's agreeing with me. Richard, I've been getting crap all day today because I'm like, it doesn't matter what either of these quarterbacks do. And you agree with that sentiment as well, right?
Smartest thing I've heard in months, Gabe. Finally, someone starts talking about things that make sense. You know, how do you give an outgoing coach a number one draft choice to begin with?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you go get Fields. Then you bring in another coach. I don't know if you ever worked a job in your life, but where you know, things like that happen, it doesn't work out. Never works out.
Right. You got to get that guy's got to bring in his people, and that's more often what happens.
Or he goes.
Yeah.
And I personally think it's time for him to go. I hate coaches that say, "Oh, maybe I didn't have them prepared." That's your job.
Yeah, speaking of other jobs, we'd get fired if we said something like that, right?
We wouldn't
have that 100%. Job too often. But Richard, let's talk about the quarterback position. I mean, let's talk about, you know, Justin Fields, because, you know, obviously, you know, you said neither one of them are going to be here next year, so zero importance to you. But I'm curious your thoughts on Justin, though. Like, what are your thoughts on him and, you know, where he's at in his career and you know, what he can be?
All right, here's what I think about Justin Fields. The guy's definitely got some athletic talent. He showed the fact that he's running for his life on the Bears. That's all he's done. Nothing else, period. End of story. I think they just trade him this year. Get something for him right now. Two number ones, maybe a one and a two, something, anything. Man. Take it.
Who do you think? Do you think will be the starting quarterback for the Bears next year?
Well, it's the Caleb. It's the Caleb Derby, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody wants. I think, Richard, I wish that the answer for Justin Fields, right, because he said he's always running for his life. And we saw it against the Minnesota Vikings, right? Snap was bad. Couldn't even look downfield because he was too concerned with the pass rush. And don't you wish that the solution, right, because listen to my show, I am about solutions, not problems, right? And I wish that the solution was then to get rid of the ball quicker instead of to take off and run, right?
Defenses are designed for that, right? Where's the next Kurt Warner? Where's the guy that comes out of nowhere that like got rid of the ball so fast, you know, to speedsters that, you know, it didn't make a difference? Where's that guy?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a lot harder to do because the mold of the NFL quarterback is a lot different now than it once was, right? Sitting in the pocket and completing passes is not necessarily what most people are looking for now. They want the guy that can do both. Right, that can get the ball out quickly and be the athletic guy that can be a threat with his legs. And we've all been wanting Justin Fields to be that guy. It's just, I've been saying it consistently. He's good. He's good. He's like he's better than a Joshua Dobbs, right, for the Arizona Cardinals. But he's not top 10 material, and that's fine. It's okay. It's no shade, bro. You got to be on the test. You didn't get an A. Don't cry about it.
There's only a dozen people that can manage an NFL team, correct?
That well, right, that well. I think, and that's something
Is he in that top 12? No.
Right. I mean, I will say this. I was disappointed that Tyson Bagent didn't not disappointed. Let me walk that back a little bit. I felt there was a moment in the game, Richard, where it was the 2-minute drill, end of the first half, and I remember looking at Corey Wooten. He and I were watching the game together yesterday, and I remember looking at him and saying, this is a huge test for Tyson here, right? We know he can manage an offense. We know he can move the ball between the 20s. But what's separating everyone else is, can you put points on the board at the end of a half? And he had the opportunity to do it, and I was really bummed out that he couldn't come through and get the Bears in field goal range.
Right, crunch time. that extra 3 points you pick up, like, from afar that, you know, manage a team. How about you? Sometimes you see some of the craziest things, like Miami tonight going out there and they don't have a play called, you know, coming off of a kickoff.
Yeah.
Is that pro football?
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes those things.
Out.
Yeah, they had to take. I mean, it reminds you of like the Bears of Nagy, where there was constantly, there was consistently a timeout being burned in the first half because of poor communication or inability to get the play in quick enough. So those kinds of things, definitely smart. Richard, feel free to call in, man. If you got another thought, anything sparks up, because I would have liked to talk to you a little bit more about Coach Eberflus. I know you mentioned that you didn't necessarily care for him, or, you know, he thought he's going to be on his way out. And Stan, who was in calling earlier, you know, he asked me, do I think Eberflus is going to get fired? No. No. Why? Because Poles, you can say what you want about, you know, the organization putting three guys in front of Poles and allowing him to make his call there. And like, oh, it wasn't his guy. But Poles is still a human being who's a GM who still thinks, nah, but I still hired the guy. And I still think he's good. I wouldn't have hired him, or I wouldn't have picked him if I didn't think he was good enough. So you still have that desire to prove yourself right. And to move on from Eberflus, I mean, like, could it be possible? Sure, yeah, anything's possible. It's the NFL, right? Especially if you poop the bed and lose another 8 games in a row or something like that, right? And he doesn't feel like you're preparing the men that are in that locker room consistently week in and week out. Yeah, sure. But I think that's a small probability that happens. So I think that to me is the thing. I think you just keep it, you let it be there, and then, you know, just let it be what it is. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Casey in Manhattan. All right, Casey, what do you think about the future of Justin Fields and where he's headed?
So I called in a couple weeks ago and told you that I'm a huge Ohio State fan, and no one's happier than me when the Bears drafted Justin, right? This is year 3, right? He's still having trouble processing different defenses, and it seems like he's a great deep ball thrower, but he can't hit the intermediate throws where, you know, a good quarterback hits all the time. I don't know what the Bears do from here going forward. They're going to have a high draft pick. I don't know if Poles is going to try to buy himself another 4 years and draft a rookie quarterback or what his plan is, but the direction, I don't know where the Bears go from here.
You said buy another 4 years, Casey. What do you think about the job that Poles has done so far?
Well, the Claypool trade was an absolute failure. I think Poles has done good capitalizing on Carolina's first-round pick, next year's second, and DJ Moore. I thought that was a good trade. The Claypool one, like
you said,
You
said that one already.
Yeah, I'm just I think he's done
PJ Walker signing. I'll help you out. PJ Walker signing, right? Letting him go. Money's there. Right, Deontay Foreman, you signed him and just had him inactive because you wanted to believe in Roschon Johnson, right? But we're seeing that Deontay Foreman should have been playing and getting reps from the very beginning, right? Okay, I'm here for a lot of these guys here. Valus Jones. Let's pile on, right? Let's call it what it is. Fair enough.
I like Darnell Wright. I like that pick.
Like Darnell Wright. Would have liked a Jalen Carter over him, but I'm sure that wasn't a Ryan Poles thing that was bigger than him. I'm sure that was bigger than him. So Darnell Wright, like the draft pick, can be solid for a little bit. Jaquan Brisker was nice, most certainly. When we're thinking of the positives, I was leaning on the bads with the Valuses and stuff. But I'll say this, and I do want to give some grace to Ryan Poles. The Claypool trade, remember, we're looking at it a year removed and seeing how it's played out. And so we have that luxury, right? But in real time, Justin didn't have a DJ Moore. He did have Equanimeous St. Brown and Dante Pettis and a bunch of other bad wide receivers. And the Packers wanted Chase Claypool, and the Bears were hoping that he could be someone that Justin Fields could throw the ball to, because they didn't know what the answer was going to be. There was a terrible free agent wide receiver crop that was coming out, and the wide receivers that were coming out in the second round weren't necessarily guys that were going to change your team either, right? So he took a shot. I do love the fact that he took a shot. He didn't know the Bears were going to have the first pick in the draft and it was going to be a 32nd pick. He didn't know Chase Claypool was going to be a prima donna that wanted 13 targets a game, right? So in hindsight, it's bad. In real time, I thought it was actually really good. The Carolina trade proved himself there. We cannot, you know, deny that. I mean, that was just a great trade overall, especially, you know, knowing that you weren't going to take a quarterback and that you were thinking about it. You know, he was thinking in advance of 2024. And what that would look like. Kyler Gordon, I like him. You know, I wish there were a couple more starters out of the draft, or a couple more at least difference makers. But I say all that to say, Casey, that I do have faith in Ryan Poles. I do have faith in him, right? Like, we have to give him some grace for being a new GM. He's going to make some mistakes. That's what he's going to do. But I'd rather him have been aggressive and make a mistake than have sat back, not done anything to help the football team.
Yeah, I mean, I we didn't talk about Dexter Pickens. You know, I wish they would play more, but
same.
You know, can I touch on one thing?
Yeah, please.
So I'm going to show Bajan some love here, but we all know he's not the starting quarterback. It would be nice if we can develop our own backup quarterback that's familiar with the system. Whether, you know, if Justin's our quarterback and he goes down on injury, whoever the quarterback's going to be in the future. It'd be nice to know that we have a backup quarterback that can at least know the system, and it's not like, oh, you know, we're going to lose this week because we got a backup quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, that to me is something that we've never seen, right, for the Chicago Bears. We might have drafted like some fifth or sixth round guy that ends up getting cut anyway and doesn't even make the practice squad because they bring in some wily vet that knows the system better than him. So, like, no one ever ends up sticking. Right. And then, like, whoever gets drafted early, like a, you know, Mitch Trubisky or a Rex Grossman, there's just pressure on them to be, you know, the best quarterback in the league. And if not, we got to move on from you. So yeah, it'd be cool to see a guy like Bajan kind of stick around and someone that is capable, right? If we're willing to give money like Chase Daniel, right, to be capable, right, we could do that for Tyson Bajan, most certainly, especially when he's on this deal. So, but who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Bears next year?
That's what I was going to ask you. I don't know. I love Justin. I just, there's so much, you know, he's been in the league now for 3 years, and it's just, he's so inconsistent. I don't want him to be so good, but I don't know. I mean, if Poles has number one pick, I mean, Caleb Williams has his flaws too. He's seen the last 2 weeks, you know, what he does in college is not going to work in the NFL. He's got a great arm, and he always keeps his eyes downfield, but his footwork and all the time he gets in the pocket, he's not going to have that in the NFL. He runs like Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel didn't do anything in the NFL. Kyler Murray got to figure it out when he runs around. It just, there's question marks on Caleb too. I don't know if you stick with what you have and try to build around it. I don't know. I have no idea. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. It's, I think obviously a lot of people in the last couple of weeks are saying that, you know, Caleb Williams isn't some angel that is, you know, without imperfection.
Right.
Right, I think that's something that they're realizing. He's a little smaller in stature, but again, he's you got to remember, these guys are going to be like, right now in the beginning of their career, they're not playing with their peers, right? They're playing with the best of the best that have grown as men that have been in the league for a handful of years and understand things, right? But that's why you get a guy so that way when he does come of age and he is playing against his peers, he's performing the same way that he was in college, which is dominating the competition that is equal to him, right? And then that's the hope with a guy that you draft early in that order and hoping that he can be a franchise guy for you. But it's going to be interesting. I think that's what we're all going to be looking for is who is going to be that starting quarterback for the Bears next year. I'll say this, the starting quarterback, like week one next year, it will be Justin Fields. Yes, that's like what I'm like. Well, come on, don't be ridiculous. It's going to be Justin Fields. And the Bears are going to be carrying three quarterbacks. It'll be Justin, Tyson, and whatever rookie they get. And,
what do you think has to happen in order for Justin Fields to not be the starter week one next year?
These are good questions. This is I like what you're doing here, Tyler. Tyler Ferringhoff, producing right now. What has to happen for Justin Fields not to, he needs to be, he'll be traded. That would be one. So that would need to happen.
Like, does he do something like, and does he really, really right. screw
no,
up?
No,
does
no,
he
no,
get
no,
hurt?
No, like, no, no, no. Any, no, no, no. If Justin Fields is on the roster next year, he will start week one. No one will supplant him. Tyson Bagent will not take over the job from Justin Fields week one. No, that will not happen. And nor will the incumbent rookie. Neither one of them will take Justin Fields' job if he's on the roster. So he doesn't start if he's traded. But then the Bears would have to be so bad to trade him away and like give the keys to, you know, Caleb Williams, let's say. But you wouldn't want a rookie to start week one. It's just bad.
You're starting all over again.
Yeah. Well, just that. And it's just bad, right? And then, like, Bajan, you just let him. Because Bajan's like, I went to a Halloween party over the weekend, and my friend had three kids, and his oldest is only seven. And he did, like, something super nice, and I pointed it out. And my friend goes, oh, yeah, he's the old man. He's the old man of the group. He's like, he's already a dad. That's what Tyson Bagent can be. We're like, oh, he's already a professional quarterback. He understands how to study. He buys into the scheme. You know, you could throw any play at him, right? Like, but he's doing that as an undrafted rookie. So, you know, could he be that guy for a rookie next year that comes in? It could be the case. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. I mean, a lot of thoughts, but the question now, what once was, does this mean that it's Justin Fields, that he is the problem? That's how we started the show. Right now, it's who do you think is going to be starting next year? Week one, who's starting next year? Tyson Bagent? Is he going to continue on this little rise and the Bears are going to move on from Justin? Is there going to be some rookie that you like, Caleb Williams or somebody else? Or will it be Justin Fields? 312-644-6767. Let's go to David out in Elmhurst. David, when you're looking at this draft, who are some guys that you like?
Well, first off, I think everyone says Marvin Harrison Jr. should be the first pick. But I really like J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. I think he will be a great pick, you know, later on the draft. I think the kid's accurate. I think he can run pretty good, and I just think he will probably be a great project QB in the future.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, without question, people can see that he's a standout talent and he can help out any team. I think that's why he'll certainly be at the top of the draft. J.J. McCarthy, I got to be honest. I got into a conversation with someone earlier at the bar, and I'm not a J.J. McCarthy fan at all, actually. I thought the competition was fun between him and Cade McNamara. I mean, obviously, Cade not doing much at all, you know, at Iowa this year. But I like J.J. McCarthy, but it's not like he was a guy that was dominating, you know, any other year before that. He wasn't playing, you know, like lockdown football. What makes you so high on him right now? Like, what have you seen that makes you think that he can be that?
Well, I mean, he goes through his progressions pretty well. He's very accurate if you look at the Michigan games. And then when the pocket starts collapsing, he's cool in the pocket. But you remember, if you watch Caleb Williams a couple games, I mean, his pocket's so clean. So, I mean, I'd rather just go with J.J. McCarthy just because, I mean, he goes through the progressions and he's cool under pressure. Yeah. Caleb Williams, I don't think, you know, when he starts seeing that line collapse, he starts panicking. And then is he really going to be successful going from a really great team to the Chicago Bears? No, I think McCarthy will probably have a better situation because he's used to that pressure.
Yeah, I mean, that's Caleb Williams, opinion. If he went to the Bears, he most certainly would be thinking that he'd be playing with the same level of defense because his defense is trash at USC. That we know. J.J. McCarthy, actually, David, let me get David for one more question. Lift him back up again. David, let me ask you this. Do you think the Big Ten is a good conference?
I mean, I guess it all depends on who's in that quarterback.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay.
To be honest.
I hear you. I'm just saying, because outside of like Ohio State and Penn State, Big Ten, I mean, you're going to have a clean pocket against Michigan State, especially this year with the drama surrounding Mel Tucker and such. I mean, they're not even focused, let alone trying to, you know, get to the quarterback. But, I mean, J.J. McCarthy, I get it. I see the athleticism. I understand why you would be enamored by him. I literally got into a disagreement with a guy at the bar today. and he was high on J.J. McCarthy, and I just was like, what? I was like, no. He was crapping on Caleb Williams and praising J.J. McCarthy. And listen, all I can tell you is this. Last year, I was knee-deep in college sports, so I saw all these games. J.J. McCarthy saw all his games last year. Caleb Williams, all of them last year. This year, the same thing, able to watch these guys, and I'm just like, when did we fall in love with these people? Like, because nobody was saying this stuff last year about J.J. McCarthy. And Caleb Williams obviously won the Heisman, but some was saying that it was a result of, you know, like an injury to Hendon Hooker from Tennessee, who is now with the Detroit Lions. Things like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's on the Caleb Williams is the greatest thing I've ever seen bandwagon. I don't know, man. It's interesting. But that's why we're asking the question. It could be J.J. McCarthy. It could be Caleb Williams. It could be Justin Fields or Tyson Bagent. Who do you think is going to be starting for the Bears next week? We're talking to Isaac out in L.A. Isaac, you're going to be at the Bears-Chargers next week? Me too, bro. I'm going out there to catch a game.
Yo, do you have better seats than I do? Because we should talk after at some point.
I'm in the nosebleeds, man. I get the cheapest seat and I just tailgate. That's where I have the most fun, Isaac. That's my best part.
Well, then I might run into you because I'll be up there too, man.
Slide on me, man. Follow me on IG and then I'll let you know where I'm at. So talk to me about this Bears game, man. Over the weekend, what'd you think?
Okay, so I mean, I texted a bunch of my boys back at home. I was like, this game feels different. Because it just felt different. It looked different, you know, yada, yada, yada. We watched it. But what I was saying to the person on the phone earlier who, like, pushed me through was, this is all about coaching. We are framing these conversations, I think, a little bit, at least for what I feel like, it's being framed a little bit. I mean, because the fact that the quarterback is the most important position and the Bears have just never had a great quarterback. But it's about coaching because I think about this constantly. When have you ever seen a bad coach win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl? You don't. You see bad quarterbacks. Trent Dilfer has won a Super Bowl. Brad Johnson's won a Super Bowl. But you've never seen Jeff Fisher win a Super Bowl. Like, and Jeff Fisher is the
damn, shots fired. I hear you, though.
I know. But I pick on him specifically because Justin Fields, I love Justin Fields. I want Justin Fields to succeed. I don't think he's going to succeed under this regime because Matt Eberflus is not a great – he's not a good head coach. He's a guy that is there. Like, when Matt Eberflus got introduced during, like, his press conference, what do you remember? You don't remember anything about that. We remember Dan Campbell because he was talking about biting knees and ankles and stuff, and he turned out to be exactly who he was. He was a good head coach. Matt Eberflus is just another guy in the middle who's going to be gone at the end of the year, hopefully. And I think that is very important because like I said, because I live out here in L.A., I saw firsthand a guy who was the number one overall pick, was left for dead because his coach was terrible, Jeff Fisher and Jared Goff. They brought in Sean McVay. Sean McVay took him to the Super Bowl. He got rid of him because, whatever. But he didn't fit his system. But he put Jared Goff in a position to do what he could do well, and that guy took them to the Super Bowl. And they could have won that Super Bowl if he didn't miss that pass, you know, yada, yada, yada. And so that's what I'm saying with Justin Fields.
All right, but hold on. Let me ask you this, Coach. Isaac. Let me ask you this, right? So yeah. You're telling me that if Justin Fields has a, you know, top 10 coach in the league or whatever – then all of a sudden, he's Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's not Patrick Mahomes.
He's Josh Allen.
I'll say this. No, he's not Tua. Josh Allen. But if you
give me a comp,
you give Justin Mahomes Sean McVay. He is Jared Goff under Sean McVay.
Okay. I don't mind Jared Goff. I could win some games with Jared Goff.
Dude, you are Jared Goff under Sean McVay, you go to the Super Bowl.
You did go to the Super Bowl. Right. Okay. I'm here for the thing. I guess my biggest complaint about with Justin in that conversation that we're having right now, Isaac, is that I think even if he has top tier coaching, that he still isn't a top 15 quarterback in the league.
Agreed.
Like, he'll be 16. He'll be 16, right? He'll be just like Jared Goff. 16, 15, 16. You know what I'm saying? 14, 15, 16. But he's not, you know, the best. So it's like, and that's just my one.
But is that is what you're saying about Justin Fields, about where he could be a product of the fact that for the first 2.5 years, he had terrible, terrible coaching around him.
I agree with you. But I also think that regardless, after 3 years, I'd still probably be ready to move on from Justin Fields, regardless of the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think that Justin Fields? I know you're supposed to be asking me the questions. Do you think Justin Fields is, I guess, quote unquote, salvageable? Like, if he would be in a better, if you put him in a better situation, if you put him in Atlanta or LA, because that's why I think the sleeper team is the
right. Right. I hear what you're asking though. Like, can he be successful if he were in a better situation? Again, I go back to this. I am not saying Justin Fields is trash. That's foolish. He's not. Justin Fields is actually good. But good isn't good enough in the NFL. And that's my big point with Justin Fields. So can he be good? Sure. Yeah. Awesome. Great. But can he complete 65% passes? Can he get you points in the last 2 minutes of a half? Can he bring your team from behind to win a game? Can he put the team on the back? Can you win because of Justin Fields consistently? That's the thing that I don't think that's the case. And I think, you know, again, if I'm trying to get to the promised land, I got to get somebody a little bit better than Justin Fields. All right, but that's why we're taking your phone calls. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Talking about Justin Fields, thoughts on him, thoughts on Tyson Bagent after the big game. But we're taking your calls as you guys get an opportunity to sound off. Bears beat the Raiders 30-12, and we're talking about it on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.